welcome back to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Second episode of the day. We are past the NBA trade deadline, and Matt Moore, what a doozy.
Why did you make me do two podcasts? I could be taking a nap.
It seemed like a good idea at the time because, God, what's it called? There was something I thought was going to happen. A meaningful trade. I thought that was going to happen at some point.
Just a bit outside.
We did have one trade. There's one good trade today that actually matters, and that's the J.J. Redick deal.
Does it?
Doesn't it?
I don't know, because they didn't trade Ellis. So now they got now they don't just have a logjam with like 15 good big guys. They've got a logjam where Monte Ellis is going to get the majority of the minutes at shooting guard, where J.J. Redick should be. They're going to play Redick at point guard, as backup point guard, and they get that, and I like Redick there, but...
You know what they do?
What?
They go Larry Sanders, Tobias Harris inside.
No, Tobias is gone.
Oh, that's right. Not Tobias Harris, John Henson.
Yeah.
Larry Sanders, John Henson inside for length, and then you go three guards. You go Jennings.
I knew you were going to suggest that.
You go Jennings, Monte, and JJ. By the way, would love to see JJ and Monte hang out. I might move to Milwaukee just to try to get in on that friendship.
The contrast of their tattoos would be amazing.
Oh my god!
Because Monte is like, I think of what a good comparison is. His are very
like the Sunday funnies, like the comics.
A little bit like that.
Yeah.
JJ's are like the type that you expect on like a WWE wrestler.
Sure.
It's like Bible quotes in weird font script.
Yeah, he's like the oddly religious UFC fighter.
Yeah, it's a good comparison. So that happened, and okay, if they do that, if they go with the three guard lineup, can we call it Bambi Ball?
Oh, I'm in with that.
Yeah, we're gonna call it Bambi Ball.
Does that make Monte Thumper?
Yes.
Okay.
It definitely makes Monte Thumper.
Okay.
Bambi Ellis have it all. Thumper Ellis at all.
Except a mom?
Oh, unnecessary.
Spoiler alert.
We're a little delusional in case you... I haven't slept in a long time, so I don't really know what's going on here. So you and I have decided that we're going to compare all these traits to Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Yes, with one caveat. Since there was no Josh Smith deal, since there was no big trade, nobody gets to be Bloodsport.
Yep, the Josh Smith trade was Bloodsport. It's like Bloodsport was never made.
Yeah, he could have been the Kumitai.
That would be so terrific. So I don't know. Would you say is the Redick deal hard target?
It is hard target.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was hard target
mainly because. The comparisons between when Monte Ellis speaks and when Jean-Claude Van Damme when his uncle tries to have a French accent. I think it's
yes.
Wilford Brimley who's the uncle in that movie, or someone who looks a lot like the Oatmeal Man. But
it's Wilford Brimley.
Somebody from the cast of Cocoon has a horrible French Louisiana accent, and it's kind of like listening to Monte Ellis talk.
As Uncle Duvet.
Yes, Uncle Duvet. Oh, if only it had been set in Alabama, he could have been Uncle Comforter.
And you can think of it as the Bucks have hired J.J. Redick the Drifter to guide them through New Orleans.
Yeah.
In search of their father, which is a playoff spot.
Absolutely.
That's what that deal is right there.
It's definitely hard target. Yeah, that's a good call. I would say the Eric Maynor trade, Eric Maynor to the Blazers for... for the draft rights to Giorgio Printezis?
Good effort. Good job.
Does that sound like a name? That sounds like
good
a name,
job,
right?
Good effort.
I'm gonna go Street Fighter.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Because we all want it to be a lot more fun than it is.
Sounds like such a cool idea. You get really excited for it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, why?
What do you feel about the Maynor deal? Because it set them up to acquire Ronnie Brewer.
Well, for OKC, I don't mind it because he was bad this year.
Yeah, but is that something
now. They need to win now? And they got Reggie Jackson. He was expendable.
Is that something though that they could have maybe re-signed him at a cheaper rate? than what you normally would have had to because he's been so bad, and maybe you go forward from there, or is it just, it doesn't matter because it's their backup point guard spot?
It's a backup point guard spot, and they got Reggie Jackson on the rookie deal.
Okay.
So it's irrelevant. The other reason that this trade is Street Fighter the movie is because as you find yourself asking, oh, why, Raul Julia? Why are you doing this movie? What happened to you? You're also thinking, Blazers, why? Why did you bring in a guard with an ACL issue? Why would you do this to yourself? Why? What is wrong? What? Haven't you learned? No.
Was that Raul Julia's last movie?
I don't know.
God, that would be unfortunate.
My favorite Raul Julia movie, by the way, is Moon Over Parador.
Oh, that's a great one.
Everyone can talk about the Addams Family, but man, Moon Over Parador was amazing. Street Fighter the movie.
Yeah.
95.
What a way to go.
He did a TV movie after that, but that was his last one.
Looks like M. Bison was defeated.
Zach.
No, he was.
Zach. Okay, I apologize anyway.
I actually...
taking Raul Julia's death hard.
Because it's so recent. We actually know someone who's related to him, so, and I think he'll be fine with it.
Who?
I don't know if I can say.
Okay.
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
I assume
you'll
I
never find out, listeners.
Yep.
Never find out my secret about Raul Julia.
I will let you know. It's somebody that Matt and I both follow on Twitter.
So I know what the Anthony Morrow trade from the Hawks to the
Mavericks
for Dante Jones is.
Okay.
It's double impact.
Great call.
Yep.
That's a great call.
Dante Jones is the evil version.
Yes.
You know, the cold-blooded.
He's the one that gets drunk and has that weird dream, that weird hallucination.
The petty crook in Hong Kong.
Also, great thing about that movie is that they just kept recycling the bad guy from Bloodsport.
Of course.
Like, oh, you're still a big guy that does karate. Why don't you come fight Jean-Claude again?
I have to find one that Cyborg is my favorite.
I've got one for the Jordan Crawford deal.
Which is?
Jordan Crawford to the Celtics for Jason Collins, Leandro Barbosa's contract. It has to be double team.
Why?
For the simple fact that watching Dennis Rodman act is a lot like watching Jordan Crawford play basketball. And seriously, if he came to the Celtics with rainbow colored hair, would it really shock you?
This podcast is a new low.
You mean me taunting Raul Julia from the grave wasn't the low?
Let's see. Oh, you know what? I think Telfair to the Raptors for Haddadi, that's Cyborg.
That's Cyborg?
Yeah, because Haddadi's kind of like the weird villain guy.
And Telfair used to be a classic. I don't think Cyborg's really in a classic. It's one of my favorites. I know it's one of your favorites. But people don't really regard it as a classic Van Damme movie anymore.
Very few know, and it makes me upset. Because
yeah.
That's me. It's not the best. I recognize Bloodsport as the best, but it's my favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Yeah. By the way, I was watching Kickboxer late last night, and I still can't believe they got Keith Hernandez to be the brother. That guy looks just like Keith Hernandez.
He was available. He just came up.
Just came up a World Series
victory.
They
were ahead of Seinfeld.
Yeah. This is the weird thing. Is the Telfair, does it solve anything? I mean, I guess they don't have to play John Lucas III as much, but it seemed like they kind of like him.
Well, no, they don't. That's what my understanding is, that they do not like him, and they specifically, Casey gets freaked out because the defense falls apart when he's in.
Shocker.
So they wanted to add Sebastian Telfair.
Which will...
that'll fix that problem.
I mean, alright, he is at least an actual point guard in the sense that he'll pass the ball.
Yeah.
Whereas John Lucas III would not.
No, I think he's fine. I mean, I think, you know, Telfair is fine. I think it's a serviceable backup.
Yeah, he's a decent, like, second-tier backup point guard.
He comes with you know, fewer expectations than Jared Bayless, so...
That's for sure.
Who, by the way, my favorite story from last night is that, like, Ed Davis was really torn and just emotional about coming back, wasn't upset with the Raptors, was just upset, and Rudy Gay was you know, really hyped up. But, like, the person that was more hyped up than anyone last night was Bayless. Bayless wanted to beat the Raptors so badly.
He's like, I'll show them.
Exactly. I still think he shot under 40%. yeah, bigger picture to talk about actual basketball stuff for a second, and we'll have the Sean Club and him. I mean, clearly the new CBA has kind of caused some of this, where particularly, I mean, somebody said on Twitter that picks have become a lot more valuable.
Which is weird, because it doesn't feel... It feels like the teams holding on to the picks maybe shouldn't use them.
I was screaming about Indiana. I was screaming bloody murder about Indiana holding onto a pick when they drafted Miles Plumlee last year.
No,
they were like, yeah, but they drafted Paul George. And they right. drafted, and somebody was like, yeah, but they drafted Lance Stephenson. And I was like, yeah, but Lance Stephenson has just recently become good. And even then, like, he was kind of a discount when they got him.
Yeah, well, and even then, he's not really that good. Like, if he stopped playing tomorrow, would anybody care on the – like, would Pacers fans really care right. as long as they're winning? Like,
George Hill is better than J.J. Redick, but – I just still feel like, and even then, that was when they had a higher pick. So
yeah.
I still feel like with the 18 or 20 pick that they're going to get, they really could have, if they would have traded for Redick, like that's a piece that helps you contend. That every little piece for Indiana helps you get better versus Miami, which is your goal.
Especially them. They need to spread the floor so much. And Paul George has been a good shooter this year from outside, and that's great, but... For Hibbert to operate, for David West to operate, even for George to have some room to cut to the basket, and for George Hill to have room to run a pick and roll and score off of that, they could really use a shooter out there. And if the hangup is just a first round pick, I mean, clearly the Magic ended up getting more out of that deal than just a first round pick from a team in the '20s. I mean, getting Tobias Harris is a nice get for them.
It is. Being an injury is actually serviceable.
Yeah.
His contract is... He's one of those nice ones where it's like, oh, his contract is what you want, and he's like, you can put him out there, and he'll play point guard, and you'll be fine. You're not going to be like, oh, God, be an injury.
Right.
You know? Part of it for me, but then, yeah, is like, you've got a very tight window. Like, you're basically, you're trying to shoot the moon, get over Miami in a shocker, and then win the title out of nowhere. You're trying to pull off a Pistons.
You're trying to shoot the moon over Miami?
Oh, dear. I apologize for that.
That one was on you. You can't let the backdoor cut happen. That's what that was.
You gotta cut off that baseline rotation. Oh, poor awareness on my part. Poor basketball IQ.
That's on you.
There's gotta be one of these deals that had to be Lionheart, right?
Oh God! I mean, Nick Roberts for Hakeem Warrick.
Oh, that's definitely Lionheart.
That's easily Lionheart.
Not looking back, is that Lionheart?
No. I'm pretty sure Josh McRoberts was an extra in Lionheart during the final fight scene. Would that shock you? I mean, if he went back in time and was cast as an extra, I think I'm gonna watch it this evening and try to pick him out.
By the way, reading the plot summary for Lionheart on IMDb is pretty amazing, because the last line, like, it describes the entire thing, and then the last line... And there's also a pair of men from the Legion who have been assigned to find Lion and bring him home. Oh, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Here's this thing. It happened.
That's great.
What else have we got?
Dexter Pittman.
Yeah, Dexter Pittman. It's got to be one of the newer ones.
You're going to have to take my word on this. I own the movie In Hell.
I was just about to ask you about In Hell.
It's kind of amazing.
Is it? I haven't seen it.
Not in any way where if you're not familiar with my likes in the movie world, I like bad movies. So when I say it's amazing, that's what I mean.
It means you should never watch it ever.
It means you're gonna hate it. It's basically, I think he's like a fireman, and he's trying to stop terrorists who have. I'm getting confused with, Sudden Death.
That's Sudden Death.
No, he's a prisoner.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Lionheart.
shocking that any of these movies resemble one.
Yeah, no, it's a lot like Lionheart.
Are we out of trades? Now we got Ronnie Brewer left.
Ronnie Brewer, yeah.
And going down the list, we're running out of bad movies. The Quest, maybe?
Maybe The Quest. I mean, Legionnaire is really bad.
Yeah, Legionnaire is pretty bad.
Yeah, I would go with Legionnaire.
I'm kind of sad that we don't have another one involving two horrible players. We could call it Universal Soldier.
How dare you? It's Universal Soldier The Return. Universal Soldier is a great movie. The Return, however.
The Return?
The Return, however, has a scene where they go to a strip club to use the internet. Which is maybe the most brilliant writing and the worst writing at the same time.
So there's your trade roundup.
Now,
based off of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Real quick, we should talk about, one, the Hawks not doing anything, and two, the Jazz. I think I'm really confused by why the Jazz didn't move one guy.
I'm fuming.
You're furious.
I'm furious. I am a white, hot ball of sleepy rage right now.
Yeah.
When they put this team together, I was like, oh, they got a logjam. They'll take care of it. It's been 2 years.
Right.
And I wasn't big on Derek Favors, and they showed up in Utah, and I was like, oh, he's pretty good. Hey, this is actually working out. They can move Millsap. No. And then Cantor actually developed this year, and I was like, wow, like Cantor's coming along. They can move, go ahead and move out and get some good stuff back for him. No, there's no reason for them to retain both of them. I don't want to keep him one. It's fine. Pick your guy and go. That's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a good chance they can lose both of them. They really honestly should, really, based on where their franchise is going. They need to go ahead and let him go in free agency because they don't need to spend the money.
Right.
Like, if Al Jefferson gets 4 years, 48 or better, which he's likely to.
That's a lot.
Are you going to lock that up for a team that's going to be young? Like, it's time to just admit, like, this team needs an overhaul. They need to go in a different direction. It's time.
Right. You are a playoff team right now, but you have a very low ceiling in the playoffs.
I get that they want the – they're a small market, and they really honestly do depend on the playoff revenue, and I get that.
Sure.
But you're not going to be getting too many playoff games this year, you know?
Well,
not getting three.
They have, like, over $30 million in cap room. If they renounce the rights to Jefferson and Millsap, decide not to keep them, they've got like $30 million. That's a lot to spend.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess if you have to keep one this summer, do you keep Millsap? You pair him next to Favors.
I don't think about it from that perspective because then I have to answer yes, but I badly want Millsap to go somewhere and be relevant.
Right.
So I the answer is yes. If I have to choose one, honestly, I'll be really honest. If I were the GM, which is why I'm not, I would keep Millsap and I would trade Favors because I can get a ridiculous return on Favors. He's cheap, which means I can dump Rajah Bell and Mo Williams with him, and teams will still take him because they want to get Favors so bad.
You could move Favors on draft night and probably get a huge haul.
Yeah. You can get a pick, and you can get a quality young guy. You can get pretty much anything that you want. And that's what I would do. I would go tell Paul, you're the franchise. And that's the other thing is like Millsap's one of those guys that I tend to believe that you need to go to and be like, you're our guy.
God, but like, do you really believe you can build around him?
No.
But you have to tell him that.
I think you tell him that in terms of like I'm trying to give the comparison. What you're basically trying to do is you want to get an alpha dog and then have him be that other guy that's like really like thinks he's awesome too. Like the Westbrook, essentially.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what you want. Is you're aiming for the other guy.
Right.
But you want Mill, but I think not, you can't win a title with Millsap as your number two unless you get a Kevin Durant level number one. But I think that you can cause serious damage if you build your team right with Millsap as your number two. I think you can contend for a Western Conference title.
Yeah.
Which that to me is my goal from the Jazz. I'm trying to make it to the Western Conference Finals and hope something happens.
Sure, I get that.
I mean, you know me, like really, my plan would be I would trade everything and just say, just give me your 2014 draft pick and we're good.
Yeah.
I would go to everyone that has any shot of being in the lottery and trade every single one of my players and fill it with D-League guys.
Sure.
And just be like, I want as many chances at Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins as possible.
Right.
And if they are both terrible,
oh well.
Then God.
Then you try.
Then decided.
Then you try again with the next crop.
Yep. So
Al Jefferson's going to sign in Atlanta, isn't he?
That's an interesting question. You know, who somebody's. I mean, somebody's going to go out there and pay money for him. Maybe Houston.
Ugh.
Houston and Atlanta. This is what's funny is Houston and Atlanta kind of got into like a staring match, and they're both like, "Ooh, but we're going to get Dwight." Meanwhile, LA's like, "No, no, you're not."
It's like, no, we're cool. We got a fifth year.
No one's ever walked away from us. That's a star.
Right.
No one walks away from us. We walk away from them. They do not walk away from us.
Trevor Ariza's the only one I can think of.
By the way, how much is Earl Clark going to get in free agency when he hits it?
Oh my God, he's going to get the full mid-level. He's absolutely, his agent just must be doing somersaults.
I know, right? Just, he's that guy for the Lakers. I love that there's always one guy that does that. It's one of those, I've got to write this summer, like, the law is, like, there must always be a Pargo employed in the NBA at all times.
Oh, we do have one more trade.
What's that?
Well, two trades, technically. The Golden State Warriors sent Jeremy Tyler to Atlanta for a second-round pick and Charles Jenkins to Philly for a second-round pick as a salary dump, according to Ken Berger of CBSSports.com. So, maybe that's maximum risk? I think that's maximum risk.
That's maximum risk.
For sure.
Maximum risk. Hey, the Sixers have another guy. They probably won't play. Good. Hooray. And then
you think Atlanta. Do you think he can get minutes over Royal Ivy?
No. Collins loves Royal Ivy. Because Collins is insane. I like Jeremy Tyler, actually. I actually genuinely do like Jeremy Tyler.
Yeah, I like that move because he's someone you can just keep developing. And he shows flashes here and there. Short flashes. More like sparks.
Zaza can't kill people forever. So.
Right.
Zaza's going to end up in like that movie in Bruges at some point. So.
Sure.
Which is not future Jean-Claude Van Damme, by the way.
I think we're out of trades. You want to do a quick preview of tonight's games?
Yeah.
Heat Bulls?
I like the Heat a lot there. They've been really good, and they're a very good team. And I mean, Chicago could have fixed some things. They're probably going to be better because they're going to be rested. That was their big problem towards the end of the break. Heat are giving 3.5 on the road, but I just don't think Chicago can score with them.
I'm holding out hope that Derrick Rose plays tonight. He's not going to, but I'm just holding out hope.
Wouldn't that be a great story?
I feel like with Derrick Rose, I feel like Tobias Funke waiting for Blue Man to call. Like I get the blue grease paint all over, and I'm ready for the call. And then once game time, once tip off happens, and they haven't announced that he's going to play, then I just go try to catch an early dinner or something.
Now I have this image of you dressed in all blue, spying on Ricky Rubio.
I mean, that does actually happen.
That does actually happen quite a bit.
It's a lot of blue in the Wolves' color scheme.
Game of the night. Clippers are favored by 3.5 at home versus your San Antonio Spurs.
Ooh.
It's a 200.5 over-under.
I go over.
Mm-hmm.
I might take the Spurs.
Really?
To cover.
Shocking me. You always go with your boy.
To cover. I think the Clippers win a close one.
I think it's going to be one of those, like, a Chris Paul pull up jumper.
Sure. That sounds right to me. Who do you have?
I'll take the Spurs, because I think they're better.
To cover or just to win?
To win.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right.
We'll be back tomorrow with stuff that's not this.
Yeah, we'll do Steven Seagal movies tomorrow.
Just gotta keep you on your toes, people.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us. We've got recasts of all the trades on CBSSports.com. We'll have coverage of everything continuing on through the night in terms of ramifications. I'll probably have something on why the Jazz and Hawks are morons. And yeah.
And I'll just be in my blue paint.
Just be in your blue paint. Thanks,
yep.
Zach.
Thanks, Matt.